Welcome to episode 578 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander Travel agents, Lindsay, Donna, and Anna. China has a rich past full of wonders and one-of-a-kind experiences. Currently, it is the second most populous country and the third largest in size in the world. What we know today as China became a unified country under the Qin Dynasty way back in 221 BCE. That's a long time ago. And has steadily been growing ever since. Recently, Donna and Lindsay were able to tour this amazing place, and they are here to tell us all about their adventures. So let's get started. So, Donna, I know you've been trying to do this Globus tour for years, right?
I've been planning this probably for 6 or 7 years.
Okay.
So I've been doing research. So
I know you guys did a ton of stuff, but I want to just do a little bit of background and ask, what do you need in order to go to China?
You have to have a visa.
Like a Visa credit card?
Yeah. Well, you have one of those.
You need one of those too. But no, you need a visa. And so what you have to go through the process, you fill out the application and everything, and you have to send your passport to the Chinese embassy. So it was a little unnerving mailing my passport to a foreign embassy, but, you know, everything worked out well. And they basically have a sticker that they put in your passport, and that is a visa in order to travel to China for 10 years. So I can go back as many times as I want the next 10 years.
Oh, nice.
So can I ask, though, like from the time that you mail that to the embassy and receiving it back, roughly about how long does that take?
That's actually a funny story.
A very different answer.
I had a company that was supposed to be doing it, and they dropped the ball, and so I hired another company, and I did expedited service and spent a great more deal of money in order to do that, and I got it in 36 hours.
Yeah. Okay. And I will only share this because everything turned out and she got hers right and everything went great. But mine was like la-di-da, just walk right in. I do live near Seattle, though. So
there's an embassy there that you can...
There's a frequent pipeline of visitors to China. So
yes.
So it's a much more streamlined process.
She had the easier one.
Gotcha. So maybe I shouldn't plan a trip to China like 2 weeks from now, because that's probably not going
to
work.
No, you're saying.
It's going to take a hot second.
Well, and how long did it take y'all to get to China? I mean, Donna's on the East Coast and Lindsay's
on
the West Coast.
So it was a 19-hour flight. 19 hours.
Okay, I have to do some math here because I cheated and took a nonstop to Tokyo and spent time... Japan first, and then went and but I think I want to say my other flight was like 4.5 hours, so all in total like maybe 14, maybe 13, I don't know.
Okay. But the flight back was 26.
Okay. Ugh.
So
yeah, none of my flights were 26 hours.
Yeah, well, I mean total flight time, so we're not, I mean, we're talking, you know,
connections and to get all that.
Look, yeah. I know everybody is like, I only have this amount of time, but man, that is a lot of, and by the time humping that time and date line, people think it's really, you know, it might be easy to pop over to the other side of the country or go to Europe, but when you're talking about that much of a distance to your body and your age, you got to do that math.
It was exactly 12 hours from the East Coast.
Yeah.
Like the time difference?
Yes.
Okay.
I meant the math of like what the toll is on you.
That too.
Physically.
That too.
So I know that, Lindsay, I know you extended your trip and did extra stuff. But you guys both did add on to the Globus part too, right? So
yeah.
So I think that's going to be another episode because we could talk all day. But so what? Tell me about the Globus part of it. Like, how long was that for?
That so was
it 14 nights?
11 days.
11 days.
Well, okay. We also added on extra days. I added on extra days in Beijing and extra days in Shanghai. Yeah. Because I know me and I know my body and I need a full day to completely like,
that's what I'm recover. Saying. You need that recovery day. You can't, this is not a trip. I don't care where you're coming from. You cannot hit the ground running.
No.
Not even if you upgrade your flight.
No. So it was 2 days. So I added 2 days, at the beginning and 2 days at the end.
Okay.
Cool. All right. So where did you start? Beijing?
Yes.
We started in Beijing.
And what was, when did you go? What time of year were you there?
We were there actually during Golden Week, which is the first week of October. And unless you really set up the time, and that's the only time you can go, I would not recommend going that time of year.
We have different recommendations on this because I would have, with like a couple of the things that we did, how busy they were, I would have agreed with you. But if you want to see how beautiful the country is when it's decorated for the holiday, with the flowers everywhere and the celebrations, and if that's your jam and you don't mind a little bit of a crowd and you go with a plan, or you go like we did with a tour operator who had the foresight to partner with really, really great local tour guides who were able to in real time adjust things for us and minimize the impact of those crowds, I think it'd be great to experience. I'm glad we were there. When we were.
So what I'm hearing is Globus made it really good.
Yes, yes. They did.
Okay. It could have been very much worse.
Okay.
Oh, cool. If we had done this on our own, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
that's good. That's really good. So what is Golden Week? What is that? It's a festival?
So that is actually their foundation day or foundation week. So all Chinese people have the week off because that is when the People's Republic of China was founded.
Nice. Okay.
And this year it was like two holidays in one, right? Because there was one was a whole week off, but then they also got that extra day.
For the Mid-Autumn Festival.
For the Autumn Fest, Mid-Autumn.
So would that mean that if you say they're off work, does that a lot of the stuff's closed?
Oh, no, everything's open, but you have millions of Chinese people that are coming to see what their country has to offer.
Okay.
Gotcha. So Beijing is specifically where you want to be for that, right? Or
if you like,
well, no,
crowds,
it doesn't matter. It's the whole country.
It's anywhere. The whole country.
Oh, really? Okay.
Anywhere there is a tourist attraction, then you're going to have massive, massive crowds.
And it's really important to go with. With people who know how to circumnavigate that. And I mean, we got very lucky. We were at the busiest time of year. And when we were in Tiananmen Square, there was nobody there. We pretty much walked right through the group entrance.
Okay. Yeah.
Because of how they set the day up for us and changed things.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
A lot of stuff was on the fly.
So what did they do for you in Beijing? What was that like?
So we did a tour of the Forbidden City. We started out there. And that was actually a private tour that I had arranged. And then Lindsay had arranged a food tour for us.
Yeah, we did a couple food tours, but we'll abbreviate that and go right to the Globus stuff.
Yes, yes. So day one, we actually went straight to the Great Wall, and they to avoid crowds, we had to get up at 6 a.m. Get to the Great Wall by 8 o'clock. And even by the time we were leaving, the crowds were growing exponentially.
I took some video that you would not believe. Like our pictures walking in and then the pictures walking out in the same area, it was completely just wall to wall people. And you could even tell when we first got up on the Great Wall, I'm so grateful that it was not as crowded, because I don't know that I would have went as far. I was already second guessing my footing.
Oh, really?
I mean, I'm not a young chicken.
Yeah, but I mean, the pictures I see make it look like it's kind of like a brick, like a brick road, you know, with like walls.
Yeah,
on the side.
It is, but you still have to climb upstairs, and the stairs are very narrow, and they're not really. Some of them are hollowed down from they're nothing's even. Okay. And when there's a lot of people in a cramped small space, I don't do too well in. Like being stuck on stairs like that with a bunch of people and not able to move would have been my worst nightmare. Mm-hmm. So
they do a marathon of the Great Wall. Did you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bought a
We will not be doing that.
Appreciate. I did buy a medal. I bought a Great Wall medal.
Oh, cool. There you go. So you just buy it. You don't have to do the marathon.
Well, I'm sure the marathon one is different. This is just one that said you went to the Great Wall. But
yeah.
And so later that right before lunch, we went to a lunch spot, and they had a jade museum, and they taught us all about how to recognize real jade and it meant and how, and they carved a lot. And of course, it was a little shopping, so, you know, it's a shopping thing.
Of course, because there's a gift shop at the end of every.
Of course.
What, they spit you out in a gift shop?
Wait, we have to.
You started in the gift shop and then went to lunch.
Because I saw two things at the Great Wall that I was not expecting to see. One was a freaking Subway sandwich shop. And one of my biggest regrets, and if when I go back, I'll have to go back in it just to get a picture of the menu to see what do they put on the Subway sandwiches at the Great Wall. But the other thing was everyone was carrying buckets of KFC. Because families would go, they like to take food and go up on the Great Wall and have their picnic. And I just thought that was really neat. But for the first time I saw it, I was like, is that just some weird, is someone just using the KFC bag to carry their stuff? Nope. About 8 bags later, I realized, no, they're re-hauling chicken.
That is so really weird.
Well, God. I had him tell me that he saw Starbucks at the Great Wall too. Did you guys see Starbucks?
I'm sure it was probably there. It was very like a little commercial area. But anyway, sorry, Donna, I didn't mean to bet.
Then we had lunch and went in the afternoon. We went to the Summer Palace, which was a where the people would just disappear, just like in Italy, in the summer months to get away from the heat and the. You know, the city and all.
And I think that's the place where we felt the crowds the most, but it was also the time of day.
Yes.
Even that, they got us on a private boat and got us out into the water so that we could enjoy learning about the Summer Palace.
That's
not
cool.
Being crushed
well, that's really neat.
Crowd of people, yeah.
Yeah, because when you're in a situation, like, it's hard to like listen and retain and, you know, so that was really cool. Well done, Columbus.
And then we finished out the end of the day. I mean, these were long days every day, and we finished out with a Peking duck dinner.
Yeah.
Ooh. Is that better than the Peking duck you get here?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Sandy, just for the case of answering this once, everything that we had.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yep. So day two, then we started, and we started out at the Temple of Heaven, which if you've ever been to Epcot at Disney World, that's the Temple of Heaven with the blue roof.
Okay.
That's a replica of it.
That's why I told you your pictures look like Epcot.
Yes. Yes. So we left there and did a little tuk-tuk ride around this man-made lake, which was the water supply for the Forbidden City. Went to what they call a hutong, and it was it was in the old historic center of Beijing.
Beijing.
And it was little apartments before they had apartments, I guess. And we went to this lady's, individual residence and saw how people lived, and she was an artist. And we then left there and went over to Tiananmen Square to see where you see all the parades and everything, and finished out the day at a Peking opera.
Yeah. And Li Zhang was the artist's name, and she paints inside snuff bottles. And her artwork was really beautiful, very detailed, and she did a demo for us, and we got to see
how they paint inside bottles.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was really interesting and very beautiful. It's not a skill that a lot of people have, but I think it's something that probably takes a lot of talent to learn.
A lot of patience, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would not do well with that.
So then you did the Forbidden City
as a group.
A second time. Okay.
Yes. I wanted to kind of go as a private myself, because this is the whole reason I was going to Beijing, was to see the Forbidden City. And so we went as a group, and I knew I would not get to see as much.
I'm really glad that we did that, because we would only had, I mean, not that it wasn't a sufficient amount of time, but we just didn't get to see as much, I think.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The second time. And left there and flew to Xi'an.
Okay.
And that's one of those things, is that the intercontinental flights were all included in the tour.
Oh, good.
And this was a public tour. This was not a travel agent thing. This was me doing a trip on my own.
Yeah. So, and we should say the tour we were on is one of Globus's smaller group tours. And I was a little, like, when you say small group, there are so many different interpretations of that. Mm-hmm. Companies are like, 50 people, that's a small group. but this was, what do you think we had?
20. Down?
I was like, 20?
20 people.
20.
Yeah, that's what they said, because I've done a tour with Globus, and ours was a regular, and I think we had 45 or 49 people, and I think 50 is like their maximum for a regular tour. And so we were told for the smaller tour, it's normally about 20-ish people.
It's
a nice size.
That was great.
Yeah, 20 yeah. Really is a great size. Everybody. I wouldn't have wanted more number. People, especially, mm-hmm. I mean, in the Hutongs, and sitting in that, we wouldn't have been able to do that excursion. We would have had to split up into different groups and visit different artisans or something.
I mean, I can't imagine navigating like 40 to 50 people, like, through China, especially talking about all these crowds.
And that's why I brought this up, because
we were sitting in somebody's living room.
Yeah, you can do so many more little authentic local experiences like that when you're with a smaller group than you can logistically. It's just a nightmare with a larger group of people. So I'm very grateful for the size of the group. And the fourth foresight they put, like, we had a local guide. We had our guide through the whole time, but we also had a local guide in every area, which is something I love that a couple of the other companies I've traveled with have done. And I love we got a different guide in every area that was their home, to share their home with us.
That's cool. So you saw the terracotta soldiers.
Yes.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yes.
That was incredible. My whole life, I always, you see it on TV, you see the mm-hmm. documentaries, and I didn't know there were horses and carriages and the amount of detail, and realizing that they really are life size, and then getting to view an active work site where they're working to restore. And uncover really cool. even more. That was so cool to get to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Jian, I should also mention, Jian is like a major foodie city. So there were quite a few restaurants here that were on my list of like, oh, this is the best of this, this is the best of that. And we got to eat.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you get some time to eat on your own, or?
We had one meal on our own the first night. If I could have changed one thing, it would have been to have another night in Jian, because there were several great food tours I really wanted to do. But I was just very happy that the hotel we were staying at, there was one of the restaurants that I had on my list was actually at the hotel. It wasn't part of the hotel, but you just go out the door and it was just like right there. So that first night I went and ate at that restaurant. It was great. I got to have their local special noodle dish and tried a couple other things. Tried a lot of things. I always make myself try things that I would never try at home, and a lot of them were amazing. I did. That was the one place I had something I'll never have again. I did have durian, the stinky fruit with like cheese.
Was it good?
No, it was, I'm sure it was good. I don't want to insult anybody who might love it, but it was just, it wasn't for me.
Okay. I think you lost me when you said stinky.
Yeah.
I mean, I like some stinky cheese, but.
I like stinky cheese.
Well, it tastes like garlic and onions.
Yeah. I like stinky cheese too, but this was like stinky fruit with cheese, and. That's a whole different thing.
I don't like stinky fruit.
But I had great buns, and we ate the buffets at the hotels. I don't know. Everybody here has had an amazing European hotel breakfast experience. These buffet spreads at all of the properties that we stayed at were so massive, and everything was freshly made. That I think I had like an hour of video just walking through, looking at all the different stations, and it was really great fresh food. So
nice. Not stinky food.
No. So we did have lunch at a really amazing restaurant in Xi'an, and then we went up to, they have old city walls that they've had in existence for, you know, hundreds of years. And then we went to a Buddhist temple and finished out the night going to a dinner theater.
Oh, cool.
With amazing costuming. I mean, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, that was...
That's cool.
Yep. And then the next day we took a bullet train to Chengdu. And it was a 3-hour train ride. Got off the train and went to the People's Park, and it's just a really nice, beautiful park area. But what was really interesting about it is that they have sheets of paper scattered throughout the in an area, and you can for matchmaking. So if you're looking for a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or you can post that you're, and usually it's their parents.
It's their parents, and you're contacting
their
the parents
are posting. It's
and
like,
oh my gosh.
When I say it was busy, it was the busiest section
of the park. Yes. Wow. All these people
everybody
looking around going,
there,
oh, I'm looking for a girlfriend or a wife. Yeah.
But then they call the parents?
Yes.
Because
the parents,
and the parents
the
set them up
approval.
And they kind of interview them, and yeah. They do the pre-interview.
I would love to pre-interview every boy or girl that comes through my house that's trying to date one of my children. I would love to do that.
So what are your intentions?
But, yeah. So let me break out my... So I have questions.
How tall are you again?
And actually, height was
so
the number one thing that people were looking at.
Oh, wow.
Honestly. It's not your job. It's not what, but it's height.
It's
how
height.
Tall are you?
Height and age. Age yes. and height.
Yes.
Wow.
So, and then we got to go, they dropped us off at a shopping street that had been in existence for a couple hundred years, and finished out the night with a hot pot dinner.
Yeah.
With a mask changing show, because that's one of those things
cool.
that they, you know.
Oh, and they do it real fast? Or like.
Yes. And yeah. I still don't know how they do it, because it was in a blink of an eye.
That's cool.
And the shopping street, I mean, it was so cool. Like, you could buy everything there, from jewelry to hairpins to spices, bugs on a stick.
Okay. Did you try some bugs on a stick?
No.
But we tried fruit on a stick.
Yeah, we did. Oh. We did that later.
Oh, you're so daring.
Yeah.
You had a fruit kebab.
That stick is very sharp, Sandy. You have no idea how dangerous that is.
You could poke your eye out with that. Yeah.
So Chengdu, if you don't know, is actually where the pandas are.
So I just saw pandas. I was like, let's talk about day five.
We went to, we saw pandas everywhere. There were lots of pandas. So
yeah. Like just wild pandas?
No. Like pandas on everything. Everything was panda.
Gotcha.
Everything in Chengdu. I mean, you can see at the Panda Garden. Panda Garden in Wulong. It's Wulong, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wulong. I'm just going to apologize for mispronouncing every single thing that comes out of my mouth today. But we got to go see the pandas there, and we saw a famous panda, a very famous panda that even has his own queue line. Which all of you Disney people will appreciate. Like, he's got his own queue line.
Can I get a lightning lane for that?
We didn't need one because we got there so early.
Yeah.
That's right.
But he had his own merch tent over there.
Like, why is he so famous? Is he like the father
because
of all
he was born in South Korea?
South Korea.
Yeah. Okay. And he came home. Aww. Was it he or she? I feel so bad that I cannot.
It was a he.
Yeah. Very, very, very cool. It was cool to see them in their natural lazy state, in their natural environment. I've only seen pandas one other time in my life, and it was in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen them.
I neither. But, you know, if I ever decide to switch careers and no longer be a travel agent, I'm going to be one of those that just gets to hold and love on pandas.
You're going to dress up like a panda and get
that's my dream job. It's like in one of those panda nurseries where you just hold them and love them. And
nice.
But like when she's saying they're everywhere, they're like literally everywhere. There's like a giant cool. ones outside. There's like
they're milking everything. It for all it's worth.
Everything you can eat, drink, or buy has a panda on it.
Okay. I was about to say, you don't eat panda, though, right?
No.
No, no, but you have panda burgers and panda pajamas.
That sounds like, okay. All right.
So one of the other cute things that I noticed that they did everywhere we went, they would have these ice creams on a stick that were shaped like either like in Chengdu, it was like a panda. At the Temple of Heaven, it was like a temple thing or a warrior or something. And then, everywhere we went there. So I finally decide I'm going to try one of these things. And I can't read Mandarin. So I've
no.
I'm like, we're just gonna pick this color is pretty. It was the durian.
What's that?
It was that stinky fruit flavor.
Oh.
Like I should have just gone with the brown one because I would have known it would have been in chocolate.
Yeah. Anyway, somebody wanted to have that.
So after that though, massages with dinner.
Oh yes. So our guide said, you know what, we want to, you know, this is all totally at our own cost, but if you would like to have a massage this evening, we can sign you up and take you over and get massages. And with your massage, you got dinner.
Yeah. This was one of the, I think this is actually the most unique spa experience that I have personally ever had. We got our own room, our private room that we shared, and you get your pajamas to put on, and they run the table. How would you describe that convertible bed table thing?
They had basically it was a very wide chaise lounge, but then it had a panel that you could remove to put your feet in with a tub.
With the water. Yes. So
just a question about massage though. Is it like a massage like I would go to a local spa here and to get a massage and I go in a room?
It is it's similar to a massage I've personally paid for in a strip mall where you don't take all your clothes off and they just like massage you around. It's
right,
that kind
right.
of a massage. But it is very long. It was like 90, I want to say
it
90
was an hour
minutes.
And a half. Yeah.
An hour and a half, it's all you can eat, all you can drink. So the whole time.
Is it a full body massage? Stuff,
I mean, it is like.
Or no, is it just shoulders?
It was head, shoulders, feet, legs.
Knees and toes.
Back.
In your back. Shoulders. But it was not, I mean, they didn't undress.
Yeah.
So
it you're was all... eating while they're like rubbing your shoulders?
I mean, if that was the hard part for me. I'm like, what's the rhythm here? When do you stop to? Because if you want something, they have to stop what they're doing to go order it on the little iPad thing for you. And then someone else pops in the door like a minute later with your hot noodles.
Did you like this?
Right, because yes. this seems very dreamy to me because I love food and I love massages. So like the two of those together.
When I think of like the epitome of gluttony, this is what I think of.
So and this is the absolute best part of it.
With the palm frond in the corner, fanning us, and
it was $35.
That's it.
I just am picturing, you know, because I'm not a huggy, touchy, massagey person. So I'm picturing like someone squeezing my neck while I'm trying to eat, you know, and I'm like squirmy.
So because I know with Globus, just my experience with Globus, you know, there's things that are included and then there's additional like excursions that you could add on. Was that through Globus?
This is our guy just set it up for us. The additional excursions was the Peking Opera. And the dinner theater, and then also an acrobat show later in Czechia.
Yeah.
Those are the three additionals.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right, we need to start picking up the pace. Yes. we got like a whole nother week to go.
Yes. Okay. Well, after we left there, we actually went to Chongqing, and they treated us to lunch again. We went shopping, and we went to a museum, and then we got on a ship. And we spent three days basically traveling down the Yangtze River. Nice. And of course, there were excursions that were included, and some of them were a little extra.
We went to the Ghost City, and that one was extra. And we went to Goddess Stream was
we included, did a little, a smaller boat that they actually went up a tributary of the Yangtze River.
I must be frozen.
Okay. Yeah, you just froze, Lindsay. I think you're
sorry. the Goddess Stream was included, right? It was Ghost City we paid extra for.
We paid extra for the Ghost City. And that was a Buddhist temple that is unlike any other temple that we had seen. Because at the very, very top of the mountain, they have a descent into hell.
And so you walk around the outside in these corridors on either side of the temple, and all of these little statues and figures are being tortured in the most horrific ways. That this is what they picture hell is like.
Yep. Okay. Which I've heard about. I mean, I've seen this in Catholicism, but in the Sistine Chapel, but not in Buddhism.
Yeah. So and then I also don't want to call them the wrong thing. They weren't ghosts, but what were the statues? What did they call the statues that we were walking up through the gate?
Basically deities. They were
deities. There was one for people who like to drink a lot. And if you rub his belly, it said that you don't get sick when you drink a lot.
Ooh. rub that guy. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
there was like a Playboy one. It was really cool. It was very interesting.
Sounds interesting.
And then we got off the boat, and they took us to the Three Rivers Gorge Dam, which is the largest hydroelectric dam in the world. Of course, we couldn't see it because it was the one day it rained, and it was so foggy, and we couldn't see anything.
Yeah, we're glossing over to the Three Gorges, sailing through that area. I mean, I've been through the fjords. I've been on some pretty incredible scenic cruises through Alaska and other places. But this was unlike anything that, you know, just the magnitude of of this area and how beautiful it was. And even going through the Lesser Gorges, going through the Goddess Stream, it was so picturesque. I mean, I had to buy the book that they were selling because none of the pictures that I took could possibly do justice to visually describing how big and how magnificent this area is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And then we got all finished up with the dam at the bottom and got on another flight to Hangzhou.
Okay.
And so Hangzhou, we stayed at a hotel. We got there late in the evening. And so we just went and grabbed some dinner. And the next day we actually walked around West Lake Park. If you've ever pictured a tranquil Chinese setting, that's what this is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a gorgeous, it's the water supply for Hangzhou. And mm-hmm. it's just this beautiful park area that, and everybody just kind of hangs out there. And we got another boat ride around the lake. And then after that, we went to another Buddhist temple. And this has the largest Buddha in China.
Okay.
And so, and it's also a place where they have, if you've ever seen the fat, happy Buddha, this is the first mm-hmm. instance of it being carved. Was actually at this particular temple. Grabbed some lunch at a tea shop, mm-hmm. and then headed to a tea plantation and learned how they make tea. And we tried some of the green tea, and then drove to Shanghai. It was a 2-hour drive, so we got there late in the evening. And then we wandered off to this area called the Columbia Circle for dinner. And it was it harkened back to the time when the French and the English and everything had colonized the area. And so the buildings were smaller. They were, it was from about the late 1800s.
It kind of reminded me of like Art Deco design a little bit. Like the one building we didn't get to see in person, but I was really enjoying the pictures, and I looked it up online after I got home, was the building where the pool was. I would have liked to have gone. There's a cafe in there, but that's definitely on my list to go back to Shanghai to explore that area, because it's kind of like, that's where all the kitschy little cafes, and there was a really beautiful bookstore that we got to go in over there, and we actually went to a Mexican restaurant.
We were tired of Chinese food, so we had Mexican.
Like, too much
of a good thing. How was the Mexican restaurant there?
Spicy.
Okay.
It was very spicy.
I had nachos. We have different spice levels, I think. I didn't think I was a spicy girl. I didn't think I was a spice person until this trip.
Yes.
But apparently
our
tastes
really change. Yeah.
I like spicy food.
And then the next day we basically went down to the waterfront in Shanghai. And if you've ever seen a picture of Shanghai at night, with the big tall buildings, they're all lit up and they do a lot of LED light shows and everything.
And it looks like
fantastic.
It looks like something you would see for a special occasion, but it's every night.
Yes. Wow.
It's like just there every night. That's cool. Really and incredible.
Kind of walked around the waterfront, and then we went over to a silk museum, learned how they actually make silk fabric, which is a pretty intensive process.
Got to see the little silkworms in their little container. Oh, that whole area that we were in was the Bund, where we did that.
Yes.
Okay.
And then Lindsay, I actually went and ran an errand, and actually Lindsay went to the Yew Gardens.
Oh, that was one of the most beautiful gardens that I've ever been to. And I did I did cross one other thing that was on my little tourist list that I was like, I don't know if I'd have any free time, but if I can, was to go to one of the famous restaurants there that I went. The first line I stood in for this restaurant was a line where you go in to sit down, and I'm like, I don't have enough time. I'm not going to be able to get in here. And then I kind of look around the corner, and there's another line to the window on the side of this restaurant. And I had the most amazing pork soup dumplings, their dim sum. Mm-hmm. It was the best I've ever had in my life. I'm not going to be able to go back to all these restaurants I've been to before that are like, oh, I love the soup dumpling. I'm never going to be able to eat that crap again. Now I know I'm ruined. Now I know what it's supposed to taste like.
Yep.
Okay. Chris loves dumplings, so maybe I don't know. Do I take him there and let him try them or no? Never.
I mean, I'm dreaming. My mouth is watering talking about this, and I'm already dreaming about going back.
Yes. Well, you have a 10-year visa, so you can do that.
Yeah, you can go. Nice.
Well, that night was our final dinner with the tour. And then we went to an acrobatic show, which Chinese acrobats are there. That's one of the things that China is actually known for. And so we saw that.
That was that phenomenal.
Part, was that included with the tour?
No, that was an extra charge.
That was just an extra. Gotcha.
Yeah.
In the show,
most of them were about $60.
We skipped right over the other show. Where did we see the one where the stage, where the audience moved? Where was that?
Oh, that was it. That was in the.
This is the problem. You do too many amazing things. You
that we did see a show while we were on the cruise, and the whole audience, the audience split apart and turned around and started facing each other. And
giant bleachers. I mean, I can't even describe the magnitude of this audience, how many thousands of people were in this audience. You're in these giant bleachers and everything's happening out on this big, huge water-covered area. There's like water fountains and lights and big
horses.
Things moving and changing, and it was one of the most incredible shows I've ever seen in my whole life. I can't believe we just skipped right over it, but anyway, the acrobatic show was amazing too. How many, like, I've seen like the cage of, what do they call it? The cage of death. Where it's like a big metal globe and they come out with like a motorcycle, somebody on a motorcycle, and they go around. They had what, 10 people?
Eight people. Motorcycles.
Going around in this.
Those make me so nervous. I can't.
The whole show made me so nervous, but
yeah.
People were doing things that I've never seen people do on a stage before.
Well, this sounds like a really cool. Sounds like a really cool trip.
Yeah.
Sounds like Globus did a really good job.
Globus did a phenomenal job, and we didn't even scratch the surface of half of the things that we did.
Well, that's good because people are going to have to just go experience it for themselves.
Yeah.
That's right. We don't want to tell them everything.
You listed a couple tips here that I just want to go over really quick. I know this is a long one, but I knew this was going to be a long episode. But I think it's cool because China is so different from what we're all used to, you know? Uh-huh. So you mentioned the Golden Week and how crowded that was. And you said to buy your gifts and souvenirs further in mainland China.
So towards Beijing and Xi'an, because they're a lot less expensive.
Things got more expensive as we progressed on this trip. And had we known that, I think we both would have spent more money.
In the beginning.
In
smaller places?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we were also worried about weight for our luggage.
Yeah. And this was a very, this is a very weight restrictive
Because they're putting you on planes. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, yeah, because you're doing inner travel too. So
Yes.
But, they did give people the option to pay to check a bag. And from what I heard from what they paid, it was nothing like what we pay to check a bag. Okay. So, I mean, I guess we could have.
Well, it's good to know that option was available.
Yeah, that might be an option for somebody. But the other tip that we didn't talk about, and it's really, really important. So I have survived. I should tell you, I've been on 3 safaris. I've been to Africa 5 times. Been to Cairo. I've been to a lot of places where I thought I would have lost my squatty potty virginity. Or had to have a bush moment and never had to do it until this trip. And I will say, after I got over that fear the first time, because you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to go here. This is not a country where you're going to find a Western toilet. And I will say that's probably the one pain point of going with a group, is that every time there was a bathroom break, there were, I don't know, out of 20 people, I think 15 of us were women, and everyone was trying to wait for the one handicap stall. that had a Western toilet. So I know probably talk on a podcast is probably not, is probably very faux pas or whatever, but
that is so, like,
you have to carry your own toilet paper. Yes, have your everywhere. Own hand sanitizer, hand wipes. You might want to keep, like, I was very fortunate. I'd just been in Japan, so I already had my little towel in my bag to dry my hands, and knew from all the other times I've traveled abroad that I carry my own teepee with me. But there is not toilet paper in the bathrooms, and there is not soap.
What about your hotels? Did you have, like,
hotels were fine?
Completely did night and day. Okay. I mean, the hotels were over the top nice. They were a lot nicer than what I was expecting for the price point of this trip, to be honest.
So, this may be TMI, but when you're doing the squatty potty, how far down do you have to squat? Can you just like
as far as your knees will let you go?
Exactly. If you can lift yourself up, go for it.
Okay, so there is a you do have to face the correct direction, because I guess some people found out they were facing the wrong way. So you got to face the
and
thing.
And they peed on their shoes, or
we weren't in there. Okay, so here's one thing though. I did when we were at it was somewhere where they had temporary bathrooms set up. So I used not just a squatty potty, but it was a porta squatty potty. So it was like a makeshift building that had stalls that you could literally stand there and it came up to about my chest. So you're just, your head is above the stall. But when you have to go, you have to, my bladder was going to explode. So I just, I don't care. But I thought, think that one was a little easier because you could hang onto the walls.
Yes.
Okay.
For support. But it's a whole thing. Bring your non-slip shoes so you can like get some traction. Gosh.
Okay. All right. So, and a couple other things you mentioned.
Sorry.
Are the translator app that you had.
You definitely want a good one, yes.
Okay. And then
good translator app, and then several good, your Google image is going to betray you with Asian text in every country. It's it has to be completely flat in order for the pictures, if you've ever used the Google image translate. It's hit or miss.
What is Alipay?
So it's kind of like Klarna, what we have here, except that it is much more widely used. And so you set up your credit card through Alipay, and then they basically have a QR code, and you can show it to a retailer, and the retailer can sit there and take a picture of the QR code, and then it will automatically charge your credit card. It's a go-between.
It's absolutely necessary for using their Didi, which is their taxi service there. But if you have the option, I personally wish I'd used my credit card more, because Alipay charges a 3% fee plus a conversion fee. And none of that hits until like later. So that's one thing. If you're making a bigger purchase, use your credit card. Use a credit card with no conversion fee, you know, there's a lot of good ones out there, but that's one thing that I used Alipay a little bit more than I probably should have on that trip. Because you can't tell, it's also hard to keep track of when it shows up on Alipay, you have no idea what it was for.
Right. Okay. And then you had, you talked a little bit about the power adapters that you needed and that your VPN didn't work. That's good to know.
Yes. So I used my phone as a hotspot basically because I couldn't get my VPN to work because the Wi-Fi, even in the hotels, was extremely slow. And I think I don't think there was anything wrong with it. I think that because my phone was a Western phone, it just didn't connect faster. Mm. The VPN couldn't connect.
And I didn't try to use I didn't bring my laptop on this. And I brought my iPad, which worked fine for me, but I was using my phone. But my phone, the VPNs on my phone worked fine. Both my phones.
Okay. Well,
so, but I have two iPhones. So do with that what you will. But I didn't have issues with either one. And I had no reception issues either, which I was very surprised about. I thought for sure some of the places we were going, I was going to have something, but they are so farther along technology wise that I think
makes sense. Yeah.
Wasn't an issue.
All right, cool. Well, we're going to wrap it because this was one of our longer ones, but this was so cool. I'm really excited you guys got to do this and spend so much time there because it sounds like, I mean, you're going that far. You got to spend the time.
Yes.
So, All right. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Lindsay, Anna, and myself, Sandy, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.